Welcome to Circulus, a 5th edition homebrew campaign. I am your DM, Crash, also known as Aaron, and with me are a collection of friends, an assortment of guests, some awesome entertaining people. Among our weaponry are such diverse elements as Matt, who are you playing?
Aristobulus Ravenscroft, human wizard.
And along with Matt, we also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing?
Playing Punkarum Darkstone, the greatest gnome barbarian there ever was.
Fantastic. And following that is Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
I am Benix, a paladin dragonborn. So much words.
Wonderful. And topping off the list is Chris. Chris, who are you playing?
I am playing Vex Saran, the half-elf ranger.
And sadly, Eric is AFK this evening. He decided to spend time with friends and family.
God, priorities, man.
I know, right? I'm saying this as someone who took a week off last week to visit friends and family. And you didn't have a show without me. What's up with that?
It's kind of hard.
One of you could have done a one-shot. Just saying.
In fairness, it was an opportunity for me to not go to bed at 5 in the morning.
What's the fun in that? Aren't you young yet?
I'm old. I'm coming up to 30.
Oh, please.
If you didn't already have a point of inspiration waiting for you to use, I'd give it to you right now. Thank you for that laugh. so we're doing this is just a little bit of real life stuff before we get into the game, but we had our book fair this week, and so every day of the week we had one staff member get on for afternoon announcements to say what their favorite book was when they were in middle school, because I teach at a middle school. And on Monday, my principal was talking about how his favorite book in middle school, well, his books were the Lord of the Rings series because the movies came out when he was in middle school.
Ugh.
I know, right?
Yikes.
Okay. Well, speaking of impending death, let's get started on the adventure. In our last session, way back in the before times, we had a wonderful excursion to Marwood's Tower. We met Fiddle Punch, the gnome inventor, and Fenix got a nifty, cool-looking sword with a copper hilt, fashioned into a dragon's head, and he has discovered that this particular longsword is magical. It is a +2 longsword. It looks really nifty, and it has script on the blade written in Draconic that says Marathomax's Claw. And it is apparently, based on the container it was in, made to be wielded by a dragonborn. Saying their farewell, completing their quest, the party came back to Coombridge Keep, the keep itself, the town of Coombridge Keep itself. And as they were returning, it started to snow. But wait, that wasn't snow. That was actually ash. And based on the way the winds work in Coombridge Valley, there is a very high chance that that ash is actually from a large fire somewhere in the vicinity of or based in the town of Gorsgate, which is the town on the other end of the swamp. Which is, of course, bad news all around. And that is where our party takes up. It is late afternoon, early evening. You've just gotten to the main gates. Is there anything particular you want to do?
Pray.
Burn it to the ground.
Okay. And here we have two different extremes of roleplaying. I like how you've encompassed both endpoints of the bell curve of what you can expect from a party. In mere seconds of the DM asking, what do you want to do? Oh, this is going to be a fun session.
I love how much we're just making you happy right now.
I know. I love this. I love this. well, Obame, because I am NPCing him right now, reminds you that you do have a piece of paper that says you've completed a quest.
Yes. I'm very concerned about the ash falling, but we do have things we have to do, boys.
Yeah, business is business.
We can't help.
Time is money, friends.
We can't help the burning buildings. We have things to do.
So we have to go find the yellow question.
We have to go find the yellow question mark.
When you open up your map, you press M on the imaginary keyboard in front of you. You see the yellow question mark is in the keep itself, where you normally go to meet Geckard Irongut.
Yep.
Go over there.
After all, he is the steward. He knows these kinds of things.
His name, and I could... My notes. Oh, found it.
I may or may not have my notes open in front of me.
I just call him the quest dude.
I've got 10 pages of notes. I'm trying to go through them all.
Okay, everyone give me a perception check.
That include me?
Oh, we should back up. We should back up, because... I just stopped to try to say Ari's full name, and I realized I probably wouldn't be able to do it.
What a start to this, I rolled a 1.
What a start, I rolled a natural 20.
Fantastic.
This is some bullcrap.
So, how Ari spent his day was in a lab. He spent most of the time with Lord Ardent Idris, doing wonderful, unspeakable experiments on zombies and such, assisting with that. And partway through the day, you had a visitor, an older man, largish. White beard, not the kind that comes down past the stomach. It's well trimmed, but he's got the Patrick Stewart strip of hair that goes around the back. Kind expression. You sort of get the feeling from looking at him that if you're well behaved, he might give you a Werther's Original.
Oh, I love them.
I know, right?
Or best. Peppermint.
Because Werther's doesn't exist in D&D, apparently. But Peppermint does. Peppermint exists anywhere there is good in the world. And this is actually... He's introduced as Ardent's father. The actual official ruler of Coombridge.
Big boss man.
He has come back because Ardent sent word that bad stuff was going down. So this is Lord Fervid Idris.
Fervid?
I'm sorry?
Fervid?
F-E-R-V-I-D, Fervid.
That's exactly how I spelled it.
Yes. Ardent Idris is Ardent Idris III, but he was named after his grandfather and great-grandfather. They skipped a generation. Lord Fervid is... much more experienced with this kind of research, so you end up doing a lot of things that, even with your high arcana skills, some of it you're sort of like, oh yeah, I can tell you're definitely doing research stuff, but I would need to study for a few years before I understood what you just did.
Right.
But basically what you are able to gather from what they're doing is whatever miasma is infecting all of Coombridge Valley is getting increasingly strong, which you already kind of knew, because zombies were coming up in a matter of hours as opposed to a matter of days.
Right.
But it also seemed, the timing seemed to coincide with the dwarves and now the clerics of Botanus reporting that their deities were no longer answering spells. They were no longer answering prayers.
Right.
So something from these deities being pushed away, or based on what some people are claiming, dying, is allowing this curse to increase in its power. When the party that's entering the keep comes in, the guards recognize you. They take you right to Geckard's office. Roll a perception check on your way there.
I rolled before and got a 20.
Okay.
Natural.
And
holy crap!
Fenix got a 1.
Yes, he did.
Did you just get a 20?
No, I got a 1 again.
Nice. Tom, what did you get? Sorry, Punk, what did you get?
I got a 12.
Okay. So, Vex's elven eyes, or one of his eyes, because he's half-elf, notices a strange insect follow them into the keep and fly past them. It is fairly large, but it's sort of like keeping to the ceiling. It's not flying where someone's going to take a random swat at it.
I was going to say, can I just try and catch it in my hand? Never mind.
It's about the size of your head.
Insect in the winter? That's interesting.
And it also appears to be made of metal. It flies right past you.
Can I take a shot at it?
You can try if you want.
If we don't know what something is, we try to kill it first.
It's the size of my head and snuck in with us. I'm leaning towards it's probably bad. I'm going to take a shot at it. I probably miss. 14?
You miss. You have also attracted the attention of all the guards in the main foyer area that you've entered.
I just start shouting, do you not see that giant bug?
Oh, they also follow the direction that you shot the arrow, and now they see it too.
I chase and after.
They start chasing after it too. As luck would have it, because they're chasing after it, they're opening doors and everything, they're not so much yelling at you for following. They're all just trying. There's one guard there with what looks like a butterfly net. You don't know where he came from or why he has a butterfly net.
What the most randomest thing
you're
ever.
You're so weird. I love it.
And you go, most of you get thoroughly lost through the corridors that you're going through. It's not the largest castle in the world, but it's the way it's been constructed. It's like over the many, many years of its history, it's been remodeled a bunch of times, and they don't always put new additions in place at the same level as the old additions. So there's a lot of floors where you go from one room to the other and there's a few stairs.
Is it like the Winchester House out in California?
That would not be an unfair comparison.
Yeah, because that place is crazy, yeah.
And this is a keep that's been maintained by wizards for generations.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So
hey now.
You're crazy wizards, people. What do you want?
Scene change to Ari and the Lords Idris. The door to this particular lab bursts open and a giant metal insect flies in and lands on one of the research tables.
Well, that's not normal.
Followed by about 20 guards and the rest of the party. The guards, however, as they enter the lab, they sort of just like hang by the wall and the door because they don't want to be within fireball range, pretty much.
or lightning bolts, or anything else of that nature.
Well, yeah, I push forward and take another shot at the thing.
Roll.
God damn it, guard's not willing to just get into the fray.
Do you remember, your character would, but do you remember when you had a wonderful conversation with Ardent about how he was going to be taking care of that goblin problem? And you pretty much understood that he was, he's high level.
Oh no, I know.
Okay. And his dad is here. But you don't know his dad.
Yeah, they don't know his dad yet.
Yeah.
I rolled a 26.
The arrow bounces off.
Ooh. Son of a...
It's made of metal. I didn't say what kind.
No, that's what Vex would say. He would just scream.
The beetle starts to make a really strange noise. It's like meh, meh, over and over again. And as it makes this noise, its mandibles are slowly pulling what appears to be a sheet of parchment out of its mouth. And once it gets maybe about 11 or so inches out of its mouth, there is a tearing sound, and it uses its forelegs to pull the paper out and hand it, or hold it up for Fervid.
Is that an actual printer?
So it's an Amazon drone?
It's an Amazon drone.
It's a dot matrix beetle printer. It's a beetle-based printer. Lord Fervid looks at it, and he takes it from the beetle, but he sort of takes it between two fingers gingerly, like he doesn't quite know why he's reaching towards a mechanical beetle, but it's not the strangest thing he's done today. So, in for a penny, in for a pound, he guesses. And he looks at what's written on or printed on it. And his face goes dark. He hands it immediately to Ardent. Ardent looks at it. His face goes dark. He looks over at Ari. Ari, you have a note in your hands right now. That is from Fiddle Punch Iron Wrench. And it's written formally, but I'm going to sort of speed through and give you the Cliff's Notes edition. Essentially, Marwood's tower has fallen. A few hours after the party left, a wave of zombies came at it. The defenses took out a bunch of them, but it wasn't enough. There's a whole paragraph going on about how the main telescope was damaged and how much damage had been done to it and how much time had been spent working on that telescope. You sort of skim past that part. Marwood is missing. A body wasn't found. Marwood is a powerful sorcerer. He had means of teleporting, but he was also very senile. So he's somewhere, hopefully alive, but Fiddle Punch doesn't know where. He escaped with one of his other telescopes. He refers to that particular telescope as the Mark 42. The Mark 43 is the one that was damaged.
Fiddle Punch escaped with a telescope?
Fiddle Punch escaped with a telescope. Marwood presumably also escaped because Fiddle Punch could not find a body. He could not find what happened to Marwood. But he's fairly certain that Marwood escaped. They killed a lot of zombies. But there was just too many of them. And he ends it by warning that this particular group of zombies is probably going to be heading towards Coomeridge Keep next.
I'll read it and tell the party.
Okay. The guards do not look in a good way. their faces have gone very, very pale, and it's not from the cold. Fervid looks towards them and he says, "We've drilled for this. Make preparations." And the guards sort of like file out. After about 5-10 seconds of them slowly filing out, it dawns on them what they were just told and who just told them, and they break into a run.
This flying bug thing.
It's a printer.
Huh?
It's a printer.
A printer?
It's an Amazon printed drone out the printer.
Letter. Oh, so it printed out the note. Okay.
Yeah, it's got a... Well, it also has some other features, apparently, because it was able to fly here. But it has a built-in dot matrix printer.
That gnome's been busy.
Your note has little strips of perforated paper on either side of it with little holes in a row that you could probably be able to tear them off if you wanted to.
I'll forgo that.
Jiffy Lube doesn't have those anymore, and it upsets me.
So I'll be the one to say it. What's the plan?
There's a brief moment where there's a round of introductions. Very, very brief. But Ardent has met you, so he points out who everyone is. You're introduced to his dad, who says you can call him Fervid if you want. He's not big on the Lord thing anymore because he doesn't rule Coomeridge anymore in anything other than name.
When he says that, I said I wouldn't have called you Lord anyway.
He's in charge of researching the magic.
Researching the curse, yes.
Yeah, I meant the curse.
He chuckles and hands you a Werther's original.
I chuckle and eat it.
So while you're making a constitution save to keep from crunching the Werther's original, at disadvantage, because who can resist doing that?
I will actually do that. Con save?
Yeah.
9.
You crunch.
That would be difficulty 15, by the way.
Best feeling in the world.
You may or may not have chipped a tooth, but you don't care. Okay. So basically, it's been 100 years since they had to deal with zombies of any large number inside Coomeridge Valley itself. Mostly they've had to deal with zombies coming from the swamp. Because other than that one path that goes through it, people don't tend to wander through the swamp unless they're already dead. But they've always known there was a chance. You only need one set of houses to go down before it sort of has exponential growth. So monthly they train for... and I'm not doing this as succinctly as they're explaining it because they're wizards and one of them casts a minor illusion to show you basically what they're doing. I do not have that ability. Magic not being real or anything.
Excuses.
I know. And I'm very much aware that sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. But, whatever. So... You've already seen the first line of defense. They do have that wall that's about 6 foot high. It's high enough that a zombie is not going to be able to just climb over it on their own power. They also have arrows that are prepared that their guards can shoot from the top of this wall. And there's small towers every 20 feet or so along this wall. They don't go very high up, maybe like 16 feet off the ground. So there's the 6 foot wall, and then 10 feet above that is the top of a tower. It's like if you go to a Ren fair and see the stuff that they have there. It's especially in the U.S. It's all built to very poor scale. But the arrows that they have arrows with red fletchings and arrows with blue fletchings. The ones with red fletchings are explosive arrows, And before you ask, no, they do not have portable holes and bags of holding inside of them. I'm just pointing it out. It's just an alchemical mix, but it's fairly effective. And the blue arrows basically create a sort of like a sticky web trap that can slow things down. Most zombies, it slows them down enough that unless there's someone right next to them that they want to attack, it freezes them in place. Which is very useful. They also have a set of portable barriers that create what is essentially a cattle run that leads right to the crematorium. So the idea is after they set these up, they open the main gate, and the zombies are theoretically, because this has never actually been attempted, the zombies theoretically funnel through this cattle run right into the crematorium and turn into ash. The crematorium is powered by fire elementals, so they've got flame for days.
Okay. So that would certainly do it, if they follow the chutes.
Yeah, it's all in theory, because the crematorium wasn't built until after the initial thing that happened 100 years ago where they had the original zombie hordes that came up. So they've never been able to test it. So their guess,
they have a theory that should work.
Yes, in theory it works. But in theory, lots of things work and don't.
Yes. They're going to get one shot at this.
I just had an Eminem song pop into my brain.
So did I, and I regret it. I'll take some of those arrows.
Oh, they will be distributed along the wall. So if your help in the defense will be very welcome. And anywhere you go along the wall, there will be arrows ready for you.
Lovely.
They even have it set up so that the experienced archers are going to be mostly the ones that fire the arrows. But there'll be, for want of a better word, interns that run back and forth and deliver new arrows as the old ones get used up. They've been making these for about 100 years, so they have a decent supply.
Awesome.
Okay.
I'll be on the wall then.
Okay. What's everyone else going to do?
I'll be in the front lines.
Okay, you stand on the wall and look awesome with your lack of ranged attacks. But you look
cool. Can he? Is he any good with a bow?
I don't think he had... Well, you've got your breath weapon.
Yeah, I can fire your breath down.
That might be quite effective against them.
It's only a 15-foot cone, though, isn't it?
It's only a 6-foot wall.
Oh, right. 10-foot high tower. So, but he can only do that once every so often.
Once per long rest, if I remember right.
So you breathe fire and take a nap.
For 8 hours.
Wake up, say, what'd I miss?
War's going on for, like, days.
I will also tell Shepard to stick near Honk.
How is Justice doing?
Justice is chilling.
That's all.
It's too cold to do anything else.
He's gotten over the embarrassment of trying to attack that guy that snuck into your room to kill you and ending up just attacking your bedsheets instead. He doesn't seem embarrassed by that anymore. His bird brain has forgotten that event. So what we have right now is we have Vex on the wall. We have Fenix on the wall. We have Shepard running circles around Ponk, wherever he's going.
I tell him to stick with Ponk and kill the zombies.
Yeah, I'm no good on the wall. But do they have guards who would be near this funnel or whatever?
They're actively building it now. The guards are assembling it.
All right, I'll go help them assemble it.
Actually, okay. You know what? I'm just going to follow Tom, because what am I doing on a wall?
Yeah.
Follow Tom.
Those without
ranged abilities will help build the wall.
What you did on the wall was you stood there for about 30 minutes with your hands on your hips, with the sun setting in front of you, creating a very cool-looking silhouette for anyone on the Coombridge side of the wall. They were inspired. They all got one inspiration roll from watching you. Which they chose to wait until the actual combat starts. And then you helped build the wall. It's very prefab. It's mostly made of wood with triangular supports in the back. And they're sort of nailing it together to create this cattle run. It looks sturdy enough for human-sized zombies. But if Punk or Fenix really wanted to go through it, they both have ways of doing that. It's assumed that a zombie would not suddenly think, oh, there are humans on the other side of this. I will keep beating it until I get through. An undead fist would not be able to manage it. In theory.
Hey, you keep saying in theory.
None of this has been tested. They have literally never had the chance.
I know, but it's terrifying.
So what's Ari doing?
Well, Ari's not... I don't have a lot of spells useful for a zombie invasion. I'm too low a level.
Ari hands you a wand.
Oh, okay.
He says, there's only 7 charges on this. Use it wisely. The activation word is written on it.
Okay.
Fireball. What do you...
Yep, there you go.
It's a wand of fireballs.
Yay!
Oh. I'll take that. Although I have a feeling I will end up using it.
That's why he handed it to you.
At least I can use it.
Is it one of those ones where you can dump multiple charges to get higher levels fireball?
Yes, you can. It is. If you have a Dungeon Master's Guide on you, it is exactly as described in the Dungeon Master's Guide.
I'll be right back.
I do? Okay. So, we haven't seen the zombie horde yet, correct?
No. All you have is a warning delivered from Fiddle Punch.
And Fiddle Punch is at least far more credible a source than Marwood.
You would argue that he is a far more sane source, but he is a gnome of Circulus, so there is some question as to whether the word sane, it's not a matter of absolutes.
I'm back.
If you're on a scale of 1 to 10 and Marwood is a 10 in regards to sanity, Fiddle Punch is more of a 7 or an 8. He's brilliant, but he's very prone to distraction.
Okay. I'll accept the wand from Fervid there, and I guess I'll head towards the wall for a little bit to see, kind of scope things out. I mean, obviously, we don't have any zombies yet. I want to talk to some of the folks, some of the soldiers, see what their thoughts are. Have we had any scouting reports? I mean, has anybody else gone out besides us, or besides our ranger friend who is able to navigate the snow? Has there been anyone who's gone out recently besides them, or is it just too wet and snowy to be doing anything out there?
It hasn't snowed for a few days. You have the ash falling.
Did that start here? Or was that only out in the wherever they were out near Marwood?
The ash blew over the swamp and started landing.
Oh, came from Gore's Gate
on
over the swamp.
Keep and the surrounding area.
Right, and the swamp's impassable with the snow.
Currently, yes.
Okay. All right, so it came from the other way.
And what you gather, because Ardent and his dad are off doing their own preparations. What you can basically gather is mostly rumor mill. So it's everything from the zombies aren't really coming and this is another drill to you're the last bastion of humanity and everyone else is dead. But pick anywhere in between those two points.
Right.
And there is someone who believes that story honestly because they heard it from a friend of a friend of a brother of a cousin from a friend.
Gotcha. All right. So the general rumor mill is saying that this could be another drill. But I was there when the note arrived. Then I will do my best to at least go around to the troops and, you know, let them know, look, I was there. I saw this note. There's no reason to not think this is real, that this is happening.
Okay. You do that. Nobody is happy about what you're telling them.
I don't expect them to be.
Many of them refuse to believe you because who's this guy? Many of them have seen you in the keep during their various duties, so they know you're a guest. But a lot of they're in the denial stage of grief right now.
I'm not a grief counselor. So we will. I will simply just all right. Well, move on. I will keep trying to deliver the message or make it clear to them that this is not a drill. This is really happening. You really need to be on your game. Anybody who's not should probably step down, let somebody else in their place. This is going to be the real deal.
Okay. Everyone give me a perception check.
No one.
No whammies.
Oh my god.
Did you get a one?
I rolled five.
Well, that's not a one.
Not a one.
Not a one.
So that's 14 for me.
12 for Tom. Punk.
7 for Ari. He is terribly busy trying to talk to other people.
Okay, so I rolled for Obame and got an 18.
Rolls are better than all of his rolls combined.
So the good news is I rolled really well for the NPC'd PC. The bad news is, if you believe in luck and trends, the DM rolled really well. Dun dun dun.
I'm always worried when you're DMing.
I love you guys. Okay, so Obame points and yells. And at this point, even with your different tasks, you're all in relatively the same general area. You're fairly close to the main gate, but not at the main gate. There is a guard on top of one of the towers swatting wildly at something. And he screams and falls off.
Oh,
what?
Oh, no.
Guess what's back again?
Creepy floating eyes?
Eyes are back.
Ah, God.
Let's start this off with a roll for initiative.
Oh.
And to facilitate this a bit easier, I'm going to ask each individual person what their role is in order.
Okay, I'm changing my dice. Okay, an 18. I rolled a 1, but I was like, screw it, I'm changing the dice.
I don't think you can do that, Logan. Once you rolled the 1, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, you also add your dex modifier, I believe.
I don't think I have one.
Okay, so you're at 1. You go tomorrow.
10.
3-1.
Vex.
19.
I forgot to roll for Obane. Hold on. Yeah, he's going at 3. And Ari.
16.
Okay, so the swarm goes at 24. And I have to rearrange how I'm sitting so I can do this properly because I forgot to get my dice out earlier. So I was rolling with my dice tray on my lap, and that doesn't work very well.
No, I don't imagine it does.
Okay, so the swarm sort of swoops down from the top of the tower and starts whizzing around a guard that's on top of the wall. And... ooh, lucky guard. He screams and jumps off the wall. He made his save. And runs away from this. So it's a swarm that's... it used this movement to get on top of the wall from the tower. And tried to attack this guard. That guard made his save and he's booking it as fast as he can. Next up is Vex.
Okay, am I in range to try and shoot the swarm?
You're about 40 feet away.
Okay, so I'm within my 150 foot first increment. Okay.
Yeah, you could get to the swarm if you really wanted to, but you wouldn't be able to attack at the same time.
No, because I'd have to pop a dash. Yeah. So, Hunter's Mark onto the swarm.
A giant red arrow appears over one of the eyes and starts just like weaving in and out of the swarm because that one eye is what you put Hunter's Mark on.
And shoot at the swarm. It's a 17 to hit.
I'm flipping between various pages with all of my stats that are open. Yes, a 17 hits.
Okay, so 1d8 plus a d6. I rolled 2 ones on the dices. Okay, so that's 5 points of piercing damage. I'm guessing Shepard's nowhere near.
Well, Punk is nearby, and you told Shepard to hang out with Punk. So,
yeah, so he's within 30 feet? Okay, can Shepard run up and try and... what's his attacking? I think it's a bait. Yeah, can Shepard bait, try and bait?
Shepard would have to jump 6 feet in the air. The swarm is on top of the wall.
Oh, damn. Okay. Never mind then, he'll stay next to Punk.
Okay. Oh, so your attack hits, and basically there is now an eyeball pinned to the tower that the swarm was on top of and now is in front of in relation to you. You basically went right through it, but that was one eyeball. The rest of the swarm is still there, and... well, it's pretty much looking everywhere, but you get the sense that there's a few more eyes looking in your direction now. It's Ari's turn.
Checkered.
All right. The swarm, how close am I to it?
I would say you're about 60 feet away. You are not on the wall. You were talking to some guards that were on ground level.
Okay, so Fireball's got a decent range. Is there anybody else up there with the swarm? I know the one guard left.
Not anymore.
Okay. Then we're going to use a charge from the wand and try to obliterate that swarm with a fireball.
You do so.
All right.
I mean, you use your charge. I'm not saying that you obliterate it.
I'm rolling damage. It has to make a DC 15 dex save for half damage.
It does not make the save.
Okay. Ooh, nice. All right. Lots of fours, a five, and a six. And a pair of threes and a one. Let's see. Six. Six is 12. Eight is 20. And that is a total of 30.
There is a brilliant burst of fire. And... there's a whole bunch of eyes that are still there, but the swarm looks significantly smaller than it did before.
Excellent. Area effect spells, guys. Oh, wait. I think I'm the only one who can do those.
Yep, I don't have hail thorns.
Next up is Punk.
When do I get hail thorns?
Well, considering I'm down on the ground, I can't really do much to it. So I'm going to basically just hold my turn.
You choose to not throw Shepherd at the swarm of eyeballs.
I do not.
This is the one time I would let you throw Shepherd at the eyeballs.
We'll talk later. Next is Obame's turn. I'm regretting NPCing him because now I've got to look up spell abilities that I'm not totally familiar with.
I can play on mine. I play a cleric.
He's going to cast Guiding Bolt.
Yeah, he is.
So, flash of light streaks towards the creature of your choice. Make a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, the target takes 46 radiant damage. And next attack roll made by this target before the end of your next turn has advantage.
It's attack made on the target, not by.
That is a hit.
It's supposed to be the next attack on the target, so whoever attacks it next would get advantage.
Yes.
~15 points of damage.
I love Guiding Bolt.
Okay, next up is Fenix.
I have no idea what to do. I'll just run up where Tom is. AKA, no.
You were already next to Tom because... Not Tom, but Punk. But you and Punk were working on the cattle run together.
Okay, I'll just wait where Tom is.
It was great because you were picking up the sections of barrier and carrying them, and Punk was sort of like hanging off of one end of it. He was trying to pick it up too, but you just lifted it up so high that he wasn't able to have his feet touch the ground anymore.
I am the car of this group.
You literally were carrying the group at that point. Well, one of them anyway.
I could carry all of them. With ease.
So are you going to do anything?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. The swarm was thinking of heading towards Vex, but Vex isn't throwing fireballs.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi. It flies over to you, Ari, with speed that will... Okay, a giant's flying swarm of eyes is creepy no matter what it does. But its speed is uncannily creepy. And it flies over to you, and I need to make a constitution save.
Okay. Let's see. Do I want to use one of my pre-rolled dice to try to make this save? What do I have?
You also, everyone in the party currently still has inspiration that they can use if necessary.
I'm going to use my pre-rolled 18, and that'll go to a 20.
Okay, fantastic. So you are inside the swarm. It is unpleasant on so many levels. On some levels that you were only aware of theoretically, you now have empirical experience that you could add to your research later on. You have an immense amount of pain in your eyes. Like they want to leave your head.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
But they're that not leaving bad. Your head.
Okay. This is bad.
Yep.
Yep. Vex, it's your turn.
How far away is Shepherd from them?
I would say about 20 feet at this point.
And they're on the ground where he was?
They're on the ground.
Shepherd runs at them and bites.
There is a gray blur that you are able to... it's a wonderful lesson in the Doppler effect, because he's barking the entire time. Yip, 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 all the way over.
And because Ari is there, Shepard gets advantage on his attack roll. So that's 17 to hit.
17 hits.
2d4 piercing. That's 9 points of piercing damage. And then I'll take my shot.
That's my actually arrow. 4 points of piercing damage.
Oh, halved. Okay.
It is
area resistant. Effects. Area effects.
I don't have area effects. Neither does the dog.
Then the dog should get out of the way so I can use some.
The dog bucks it back 20 feet.
You need to get out of the way of the area effect too.
Oh, actually. I will. I have a bonus action Misty Step spell ready to rock and roll.
I rolled an 18 for my attack.
You hit.
Oh, that's much better. 7 plus 4 is 11. It's Hunter's Mark. That's 14 points of piercing. Rest of 7.
These eyes were already bloody to begin with, but if they weren't, they would be bloodied at this point.
And I just kind of shout for Shepard to back up 20 feet.
Shepard has already used his movement this turn.
He has 40 feet of movement.
Okay, then he runs towards you for 20 feet. There is an eyeball in his mouth. He looks incredibly pleased with himself.
As he should.
The sphere of the eyeball is not in his mouth. He's holding it by the nerve in the back. It's sort of wiggling a bit still. He's not so much running as he is trotting.
He's a good little puppy.
Pong's turn. Actually, wait. No, it's Ari's turn.
All right. I'm going to bonus action, use Misty Step to teleport 30 feet. I'm not going to teleport that whole distance. I want to teleport essentially outside. How big is this swarm? Does it just cover my square? Or is it like a 10-foot by 10-foot square?
Let me check. That's a very good question. It can vary because it controls all of its little parts individually, but as it was surrounding you, let's say that it was fitting itself into a 5-foot square to attack you specifically.
Okay. Then I'm going to teleport 10 feet south, outside, so that I'm outside of it, and then I'm going to try to use... Now, can I... the fireball's probably too wide in here now. There's too many people down below. 20-foot radius from that point, would I be able to aim the wand and trigger the fireball so that it only caught the swarm inside without hitting anybody else? I don't know how crowded it is down here.
You seem to be the only people crazy enough to move towards a swarm of eyeballs. So yeah, every other person, all the guards, they were trained to fight zombies and maybe a local drunk that got sort of out of hand every now and then. They're all using their actions to flee.
Okay. I just don't want to have any friendly fire incidents.
Literally.
Exactly.
At this point, if you center this fireball on the swarm of eyeballs, no one gets hurt but the eyes.
Quick question, though. Is there a lot of wood right around there?
Around you, yes.
Okay, but not where he's aiming?
Ari was closer to the wall. The wall is made of stone.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Well, that would be the kind of thing Ari would check to make sure quickly. Like, okay, nothing flammable nearby as well? Okay.
Ari was there for the conversation about the explosive arrows. He knows they're on the wall. This fireball will not hit the wall.
All right. That's all I want to make sure of. So they will now again make a DC 15 dex save. And damage will be... Let's see. There's 10. That's 20.
It makes it save.
Okay, so that's 26. 2, 4, 6. All right, so 26 total on that.
That's 13. Half damage or that?
That's the full damage roll, so they'll take half of that for 13. Unless they suffer something for being an area effect spell against them being a swarm.
No. The only benefit you've got is it's not resistant.
Not resistance, yeah.
It's not resistant to fire damage.
Okay. I have used one Misty Step and two charges on the Fireball Wand. I am going to, not that it'll matter, try to... No, you know what? I'll stay where I am. I don't think I'm going to be able to run and escape these guys.
Okay, Ponk's turn.
No question. From where I am, can I front gate?
Yeah?
I'm concerned this is a distraction. And that something is going to try to come through the front gate.
Front gate.
So closed. I would. Okay. Just making sure.
The first thing they did when they got this warning was they closed the frickin' gate.
No, because we're talking about building this cattle chute. I wasn't sure like how far the chute went. So
it will go the full distance from the gate to the crematorium, but you haven't finished building it yet, so they're not opening the gate.
Okay, then I'm going to continue working on that then.
So chaos is going around. There's fireballs, there's eyes, there's guards running screaming. There's a doghouse over to the side that has a dog and a cat sitting next to each other inside the doghouse. And you're just there working, using your monkey wrench to hammer in nails.
Yeah, because it's got to be built, because we need to do that. So I'll continue to do that.
I'm loving this. I'm painting this picture in my mind of what these actions are that are taking place, and I love this. This is fantastic. I love you guys, man. Okay.
Woo.
Obeim's turn. I'm just gonna take a moment to say that Eclipse is posting things into Discord, and Eclipse, never be sorry about that. Just keep posting those. I need to look something up. I'm trying to remember if Obeim can cast Guiding Bolt twice or not, and I literally don't remember his spell slots.
Level 3 cleric?
He is.
He should be able to.
Okay, well then.
I think he has a second level.
I can look up his character. I have it.
I have his character open, but it doesn't say how many. I don't see where it says how many spells he can cast at each level.
I'm checking right now for you, love. Cleric.
Four times.
He can do 4 first levels and 2 second.
And Guiding Bolt is first level, right?
Guiding Bolt is first, and you get an extra d6 if you use second.
Wait, can't use it 4 times?
He can technically use it 6 times. You can use it at a higher level and get an extra d6. Mm.
And that again is a hit. I'm going to play him conservatively and not burn higher level spell slots, because the way I'm going to treat this, Obeim doesn't know if he's going to need to heal people. Ooh. Yeah, be very glad that as I'm rolling damage, I'm rolling for the good guys right now. Because that was 20 points of damage.
Nice.
There aren't many eyes left that are flying around. Okay, Fenix, it's your turn.
What can I do? Are they still, like, on the wall?
No, it is down on the ground. You could reach it and strike it in the same turn if you wanted to.
I'll try doing that.
Okay. What are you going to hit it with?
With my awesome new longsword.
Okay.
Remember you have advantage from getting...
Breathe fire on it!
Yeah, you have advantage from Obeim's spell.
Breathe fire on it.
No.
Yeah, it'll do more damage than your sword.
But it's not your turn, so you can't tell him what to do.
I can't talk?
He has, it's his turn, he makes the decisions.
Oh. Alright, well, could he... Yeah.
I rolled an 18.
I can't tell if you said 18 or 19, but it doesn't matter because it's a hit either way. Roll for damage.
Oh my god.
And its damage resistance is only for non-magical weapons, so it's going to take full damage no matter what you do.
Oh.
Well, I'm not different. I got an 11.
Okay, so there were about 8 to 10 eyes remaining after all this massive damage that had been thrown at it from multiple angles. And as you rush forward, pull your longsword out, and in a one-handed strike, sort of just slash, you feel the blade sort of bend in your hand like... Have you ever played with a fidget spinner?
I have one in my hand right now.
Yeah.
You know how if it's a little bit off balance, you can sort of feel it want to move in a direction?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your sword does that. And on a whim, you let it guide you, and it actually sort of weaves through the air. It's not a straight line. It's basically all the same direction, but it goes up and down, and you manage to slice all of the remaining eyes in half.
Oh!
It had exactly 11 hit points left.
Sure, Logan.
I am now god of this whole entire team.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now have a dragonborn narcissist, but I repeat myself.
I regret saying good job.
Okay, I'll...
To be fair, he's been playing that as his character the entire time. This is on brand. Okay, so
wait,
combat
this
is...
This is bad, though. If it's letting... That's my dream that I had, like my vision, how it showed me... on top of like a bunch of bodies. This sword can do that.
Well, granted, any plus two sword would do that. I was RPing out what the plus two was doing.
I know. Dang.
Okay, well, we are out of initiative. Combat is over. The guards are sort of tentatively coming back. One of them is stabbing an eye on the ground like it he thought he saw it move. Another guard
gonna,
is slapping him upside the head.
I'm just going to shout over, finish what you are doing. We don't know how long we have.
Okay. And you do that.
Ari wants to go to where these eyes came from. They came out of one of the towers or came... down onto the tower? I forget what.
Well, there is a wounded guard laying at the bottom of the tower because he fell off of it, trying to get
the
eyes.
Can I jump over the wall to him?
You can jump down from the wall. You're still on top of it.
Yep.
Yeah, you were fairly close to him, so yeah, you get there pretty fast.
I want to go
before
the other...
gets there.
Yeah, the other guard... There was another guard that was... jumped and landed safely somewhere?
Yeah, there was a guard on top of the wall. Jumping down 6 feet is not the same as falling 16.
Yeah.
So he jumped down and ran.
Okay.
Are his eyes still there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to bump a heal into him or anything, but we need to get him back on his feet.
Another cleric is in the area. There's a significant number of clerics that have been on patrol as well. It's part of how they drill this. And this cleric comes over and he is able to cast a healing spell. Who's by this wounded guard?
I think it would be me and Oban, wouldn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me a perception check.
Natural 20.
This guard is dressed like a cleric of Batanis, but they're not wearing a blue rose for their holy symbol around their neck. They're wearing, and it looks like it was kind of hastily made. Like it might have been a rush job by the local blacksmith, but they're wearing an oak leaf.
Wait, what?
Their holy symbol's an oak leaf.
Like mine.
You recognize this. This is one of the clerics that you were talking to after you went to help because they weren't getting their spells answered, their prayers answered. So this is one of the ones you were talking to. You made a convert.
Wow.
He notices that you notice, and he's just like, I needed it. We needed a deity.
He'll guide you through. Listen to him.
I do my best.
Your best isn't good enough.
I help the guard up and try and get him inside, and then go back to the wall.
Logan Dagnabbit.
You ruined a beautiful moment.
I didn't... Akari, I'm going to have to ask you to say again what you just said, because the whole time you were speaking, I was just trying not to laugh at Logan's line. Logan, congratulations, you almost broke the DM.
Ruined a beautiful moment.
So Vex, what did you
say? What did I say? Oh, I help him to his feet, and... go back, get him inside, and go back to the wall.
He says they came from behind.
Came from behind. I take a supply of the arrows and go up that tower and just watch.
Yes. Yes, Eclipse. They were rogue eyes. One could say they were wandering eyes.
Well, they definitely got sneak attack on that guard.
Well, to be fair, the sun is setting. It's getting darker.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you've had a very long day, and you are all feeling kind of tired at this point. Especially now that the adrenaline rush of combat is wearing off, you're realizing that you've been up some of you since before sunrise.
Still on that tower.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to rest. Not when I've went to all the effort to convince the soldiers that this was happening.
Okay. So that's two for not resting. What does everyone else do?
I'll take... not sure I'll stay awake.
You'll stay awake too? Punk?
Yeah.
I keep helping the guards build whatever they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Me too, because I'm a strong dragon.
Okay. Everyone give me a constitution save.
Okay.
Yay, my first natural 20 of the day.
15.
What do I roll for that? Sorry.
Constitution save modifier.
Yeah.
D20.
Okay.
I got an 18.
21.
Okay, Punk and Fenix. I'm gonna RP this as... because you are actively moving things around and walking back and forth, you just plow through the night. You're fine. Ari, what was your roll again, real quick?
18.
Yeah, you do the same. You're able to stay up. You've pulled all-nighters at university, so you're kind of used to this. Obame stops to rest his eyes for a moment. That doesn't end well. He didn't roll very high. And... Vex, You picked 50. A very boring line of work. Waiting on top of a tower. And you doze off.
Fine.
Okay. Camera fades out. Fades back in. You are... You know that the area you're in is the town of Coombridge Keep. The houses are small compared to you. The wall is there. It's still 6 feet tall. The houses all look like miniatures. The ground looks like it's sand, like it's a beach. And off in the distance, you see a tower. You recognize it as Marwood's Tower, except it's not shrouded in mist. And you see a black wave coming from beyond the tower. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming. It hits the tower. The tower breaks into pieces and collapses. Parts of its masonry are sort of... Well, stone doesn't float, but it hit with such force that there's still pieces of stone that are caught in this wave near the top of it and are moving forward. And you see the wall has multiple people running towards it. Some of them are already there, and they're trying to brace up against the wall to hold it against this wave that is approaching. And it might be dream logic, but you think that holding, like bracing against the wall, might be able to hold this wave back. What do you do?
I'll run and hold the wall as well.
Oh, you.
This is me sleeping.
Yeah, this is Vex's dream.
This is me dreaming.
Oh, it's your dream. Jeez.
Yes.
I brace on the wall.
Okay, you run forward, you do the same thing. You are dimly aware that you recognize some of the people along this wall. You see Fiddle Punch there. You see both of the Idrises there. They were there long before you got there. You are aware that Obame is there also. And he seems a little more real to you than the others do. Like... You and he are having this dream together. You get the idea that if you told him something here, he would remember it when you both woke up. But that everyone else is kind of insubstantial. Like, they're here so that you are aware that they're here and that their actions mean something. But they are just part of the vision.
Yes, so you're saying that Obin's pretty much there.
You get the feeling that he is. You would have to have that.
Am I in control of my dream? So well, can I control myself
wall,
at
yeah.
least?
You feel like this is a lucid dream.
So with me feeling that Obain's possibly there.
You're like side by side.
With me feeling that he's possibly actually here in the dream, sharing it with me. I would say Vex would say something to him. And I'm going to say one word, and I'm going to, if he remembers it in the morning, there's a conversation to have. I say Kayla. K-E-Y-L-A, Kayla. That's all I say, and we continue.
Okay. There is a rumble as this wave is getting closer. You begin to feel a little doubt that this wall is going to do the job. You start to become painfully aware that there's cracks in the masonry. You see a spot where there's like a mouse hole that you're fairly certain there's daylight coming through from the other side. Like, all the things that could possibly go wrong, you're becoming aware of. More hands are still coming over and bracing up against the wall. Some people are bringing logs and stuff and using those to brace them. You see a pair of hands on the other side of Obame go up against the wall. You can't see who the hands belong to. Just your point, for some reason, your point of view doesn't let you look that way without letting go of the wall to walk away. But you see that the hands are covered in welts and sores. Some of them look like they were made through means of torture. And there's red string wrapped around the wrists of those hands. You look to the other side of you, the side that Obeim is not on, and you see another pair of hands. The skin is very wrinkled and dark and rough. It looks like bark. And the clothing looks more like leaves and vines than fabric. Above you, another hand. More of a claw. Unfathomably large, but you know it's a hand of some kind. Braces the wall right above you, and light reflecting off of it shines with a platinum hue. The rumble gets louder and louder. You can feel it in your bones. You feel it in your chest. Like if you go to a concert and you are standing too close to the speakers and you feel the bass just rattling through you, this is what you're feeling. And as the wall gets hit by this wave and the masonry sort of shifts, so it's more like sand being hit by a wave than it is by stone, you wake up.
I run for Obeim.
You fall off the tower.
I'm okay with this.
Roll a dex save.
15.
Okay, yeah, you take 2 points of damage.
I'm okay with that.
You land wrong on your ankle. You realize halfway down that you nodded off on top of a tower, not in your bed.
Yep. Forgot about that.
That is this wonderful cap to that vision. I've been planning that for two weeks now. 2 weeks.
That hurt. Okay. Obeim.
Okay. Obeim is running over to you. At the same time, you're running over to him, and he says, Kayla.
So it was the same dream? We shared it.
I don't think it was a dream.
Vision?
Most definitely.
We're screwed, aren't we?
I feel like these are alternate endings of...
We have three gods on our side. If we're screwed, everyone's screwed.
Fair point. I feel like we should go maybe talk to them, the gods, see what they have to say.
So you look up the number for the psychic hotline.
Yep.
It is 5 gold for the first minute.
Mm-hmm.
It is 2 gold for each additional minute.
Okay.
And for some reason, they speak to you with a Jamaican accent the entire time.
Oh, one of the vendors in our Strahd game, not supposed to be Jamaican. The guy, the DM gave him a Jamaican accent. It was amazing.
I'm specifically parodying someone who I don't think their commercials aired across the Atlantic.
Probably not.
But it was, I think it was...
Lady Cleo.
Thank you, Lady Cleo, the psychic hotline.
I've seen videos of her. I've seen clips of her.
Yeah.
On YouTube, because she never aired over here.
Yeah, apparently her career did not end well, but I don't remember exactly what happened. I think there was some type of lawsuit. It turned out she wasn't psychic.
Oh, what a thunk.
I know, right?
Shocking.
I would like to go and pray. Sylvanas.
She actually passed away about a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Oh. 2016 was the last year for a lot of people. But okay, so Akari goes to pray. Everyone else is working through the night. The cattle run is done. You finished maybe a couple hours before Vex and Obeyme woke up. Obeyme woke up where somebody had actually draped a blanket over him, where he fell asleep against the wall. Over to the side a little bit. I just look at the image that Eclipse posted.
Yeah.
Dex-based AC like a boss. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
Only I was a monk, and that would be true.
You just, like, land on a blade of grass, and it wouldn't bend. Mm-hmm. You'd have one toe on top of it.
Yep.
Okay. So, the people who didn't doze off got a couple hours of sleep, but you're not feeling it. Your morning cup of coffee should probably actually be, maybe a barrel that you just put your head in.
So Obeyme and I got a long rest. They didn't.
No, they did not. They worked through the night.
Okay.
Although, to be fair, Ari didn't use any spells the previous day.
I used Hunter's Mark, so... Kind of
glad I didn't use any the previous day, but I used one last night.
Misty step.
Okay, so you're down one misty step because you haven't had your long rest yet.
Yep.
Okay, but the sun is rising in the east, like it does. Day breaks. Obeyme cast mending.
He never gets to use it.
I'm gonna give him a chance to use it, Dagnabbit. I would give him that chance in this session, but he's AFK, so I don't feel like it would count. I just want him to like walk into a random inn or something and see that there's like a pane of glass that has a crack in it. So he's just like, aha. Just fixed. But then I want the owner of that shop to be like a magic phobe. And like chase him out by hitting him with a broom over and over again.
And then he shatters the window himself.
Puts the crack back. That'd be so mean. Okay, so as the sun rises in the east, and I'll keep in mind the way Coomeridge Valley is built, Coomeridge Keep is on the western end. The whole valley is kind of like an American football shape almost, where it's sort of tilted a little bit, with the eastern end pointing up closer to the north. But still west and east are good descriptions. Sorry, the eastern end is pointed up a little bit. So as you're looking to the east, you're looking over the 6-foot wall towards the interior of Coomeridge Valley. And as the sun rises, it's getting brighter, but it's kind of hard to see the sun because there's a lot of smoke in the air.
Wait, what?
There's a lot of smoke in the air to the east. This is where the zombies are coming from.
That's what you see, the picture I just posted. And for those watching the video recording, if anyone does, it's the picture that's been the backdrop for this recording the entire time.
Oh, no. They're coming from the other side.
They're coming from exactly where... they're coming from the interior, which is where you assumed they were coming from. But they're coming from the east, not the north. You knew that a lot of zombies attacked Marwood's Tower, which is to the north. But this group is coming... It is coming down the road, but it's coming down on both sides of the road also. It's coming from Clear Spring.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's coming. It's not coming from the Gores. It's coming from gear, from the other town up the road.
Right.
And, of course, the guards are running around and frantic. The commander is riding a horse up and down, not on the wall, obviously, but
that'd be quite funny.
It's one of those horses that can prance and march and step and everything. Jumps over the 10-foot towers built into the wall as it gets to each one. But he's barking orders and rallying troops and all that, yelling at people who are trying to run the other way, reminding them that they've been training for this forever.
Can I do try and commune with Sylvanas?
You can try. I'm going to call that a religion check.
So just a straight d20 then. 15.
You get the feeling that you're not alone, but you don't get verbal responses.
Okay. No verbal responses, that's fine. Doesn't have to be a verbal one. We know there's something coming. We know the dead are coming.
Yeah, you see them marching right towards you at this point.
No, I know. You say, this is what I'm saying to essentially the air, because I know he's here, but there's no verbal responses. So we know they're coming. We know the dead are coming.
Yeah, there's not going to be a surprise round. As Phillips is pointing out with his images.
We know the other gods are either abandoned or dead. There has to be something that we can do to get an advantage here. Give me a sign, something, anything.
One of the guards yells, "Hey! You want these arrows or not?"
I'll take that as a sign. And I walk over and grab the arrows. Jeez.
Okay, you grab the arrows from one of the interns that was literally there. Like, as you're praying to Sylvanas, he's holding the arrows up like, "Yo, mister. Yo. You. Hey. Hey." Okay, so you take the arrows. Somewhat gingerly after you remember, oh yeah, half the arrows in this quiver explode. And now you've got another quiver that's full of arrows. There's 10 of each. 10 blue fletching arrows and 10 red fletching arrows.
Okay.
Punk, as you are feeling more grumpy than usual, because you worked all night and only got a little bit of rest. You hear a familiar voice. "Hey, Shortstack."
"Hey, Bob."
"Come here, I need an extra set of hands."
"What do you need?"
"Something to help with the wall defenses, I'm sure. Come on, let's go."
"All right, I'll follow him."
Okay, so you follow him off. He goes through several alleys, makes right turns when you were pretty sure he was going to make a left turn, and stuff like that. But this trail that he's leading you on is going to take a bit because it's much further than 30 feet away from the wall. Ari, what are you up to?
I would like to get up on the wall and start using that fireball wand to kind of thin the herd.
Okay, so you hop up on the wall and you raise the wand to strike. And before you do, two fireballs light up in the middle of this horde, incinerating huge swaths of zombies.
I think I know where those came from.
Yeah, from either side of you. To the towers on either side of the main gate have a wizard on top of them, and they're both named Idris.
Uh-huh. Shocking. Well, I'll work from the middle and start launching the, using the wand. I will, once it's down to one charge, I will stop, because if I blow the last charge,
You have a 1 in 20 chance of it disappearing.
Right, so we don't want that.
Okay, well, if I remember correctly, that wand gains charges every night.
Yeah, 1d6 plus 1.
You use
I only use 2 charges.
So it's fully charged at this point.
Right,
so, you
so I will use...
charges.
Yep. Do you want me to roll damage for it, or...?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not going to probably do nearly as much as the Idris combo, but it's better than nothing.
Their wands have, like, extra stickers put on the sides of them.
Ooh, nice.
And they've been bedazzled a little bit. Gives them extra.
Well, time. They're certainly entitled. Let's see. 18. 2 is 20. 28 plus 5, 33.
There is a fireball-shaped hole where there aren't even corpses in it anymore. Now, it fills in very quickly.
Yeah.
But you you did significant damage.
I will keep doing so until this thing has got one charge left in it.
Okay. And let's see. Fenix, what are you up to?
I don't know.
Sounds so defeated, Logan.
Well,
the guy who got the killing blow on the swarm of eyeballs. It's like, I don't know what I can do. And he's like moping around, kicking a rock. He's got his hands stuffed in his pockets. Don't worry, you'll have something to do soon. I promise you.
I'll just go to my burn and pay him, I guess.
The inn is actually closed up. The door is barred. This is a town under siege. There's no one wandering the streets right now. As you go to the inn, the lights are all dark. You can tell there's people inside. But they're not opening the door for people right now.
Are there anyone that needs help or like need a hand anywhere?
Yeah, they're all at the wall.
All right, I'll go at the wall and help out.
Okay. Okay. So, and I'm assuming that Vex is going to be shooting arrows at this swarm.
Back up that tower, yeah.
Okay. And like I said, they're relaying arrows. So at this point, every time you run out of arrows, there's someone there waiting with a fresh quiver, and you give them the empty one, and they give you a full one.
Awesome.
Okay. Punk, you and old Bob go into a cellar, basically. It's an outside door into a cellar. And you see a bloodbath. There are several dead bodies in various states of assembledness. Some of them are sort of wiggling a bit, but they are all pinned in place. They're not going anywhere. Several of them are dismembered, so like you might see a finger trying to escape by wiggling away, but the rest of it is just pieces. Some of them are pinned to walls with green daggers.
Oh, son of...
They are not painted. The leather is actually dyed. It's done tastefully.
Who does this to leather?
The leather was treated well.
And do these daggers, are the hilts, do they look like the ones I'd seen before? Shaped like a dragon?
The ones you saw before look like what someone would make if someone told them about these daggers and then tried to make these daggers blindfolded.
Okay.
So they were like knockoffs. These are the real deal. And give me a perception check.
All right. 9.
Okay. So yeah, you see dead bodies stabbed with daggers. And in some cases torn up. And old Bob just sort of looks at you like, looking at all these things and saying, yeah, they had something planned for the wall too. I took care of that though. What I can't do is carry this. And he sort of motions to a sack that is full of vials with some type of volatile liquid inside. Like the liquid is moving when the sack isn't moving.
Okay, so explain to me, Bob, who are these guys?
Well, remember you asked me to look into these guys with weird-looking daggers?
Uh-huh.
I found them.
Okay.
Well, more of them, anyway. Now less of them. All right.
Okay. Well, while we're talking, I want to give him the star chart.
He thanks you for that and sort of like shoves it into a pocket somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So I guess I can take this sack.
We are going to take this sack. It's too awkward for one person to carry.
All right.
I'm fairly certain from what I overheard that these things explode when you throw them at something.
Nice. We can have fun with that.
Well, yes, we can.
All right, then we're gonna leave there, but I want to make sure that door is shut so that it, you know, if we can put up something against the door.
Way ahead of you.
All right, so we'll take that. We'll head back to the party.
And it's significantly heavy, not too heavy for either one of you to try carrying by yourself, but it's just the sheer awkwardness of it. It's a two-person job.
Okay.
Especially for people of your size. No offense.
Midgets.
Offense taken.
that is on brand.
Yeah. We're going to head back. I don't know what I want to do with them just yet.
Oh. Okay. So you start heading back. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is doing their thing. Fenix, not having ranged attacks of his own, sort of gets into the routine of moving arrows back and forth with everyone else. They're grateful for his help. I'm assuming this happens because someone sees him moping and hands him a quiver and says, here, give this to that person. So he gets into the relay race for that. You're about halfway back, Ponk, when you're going through a particularly narrow alleyway. It's not wide enough for both of you to walk side by side. And a dark hooded figure carrying a staff steps into the alley and blocks your way.
Get out of the way.
Is that any way to speak to an old acquaintance?
How tall is this person? Oh, never mind. How did you get here?
Everyone was watching the wall. No one was looking under it.
Nice. We need to get back because we got your message, obviously.
Message? I gave you no message, and this hooded figure steps closer. It is not Fiddle Punch.
Ah.
You see what is probably the oldest goblin you have ever even heard of. Her wrinkles have wrinkles.
Oh, no.
All right, I'm going to attack her.
As you reach for your
wrench, she holds up one gnarled hand and says, I am not here to fight you. We have the same enemy. My clan was betrayed. Led here under false pretenses. Many of those who you slain now ride in the zombie horde towards this keep. We were cannon fodder. And I aim to get my revenge. You do have the sense that behind you, as you were going through this alleyway, you were sort of leading, walking backwards with the sack between you and Old Bob. Old Bob is behind you. You get the sense that he has one hand in his coat reaching for something, but he's not pulling it out yet. He's following your lead.
I'm the barbarian. Diplomacy is not my thing.
I was just thinking that.
Well, give me an insight check.
All right. Uh, 18.
Okay. This goblin has barely restrained rage. And you are fairly certain it's not directed at you, because based on what she did the last time you encountered her, you would probably already be in combat and on the losing end of it at this point. She probably could have set off all the vials you're carrying between you if she wanted to, from a range where she would not have been in the blast radius. Will you allow me to help you?
All right, come along.
Okay. As she backs out of the alleyway so you can come through. And as you enter into what is an abandoned street at this point, there's one lone tumbleweed blowing through past some abandoned carts. Because there's always one tumbleweed. You don't know where it came from.
Always.
There's a few goblin children there. They have smaller sacks, and they sort of just come up and just grab handfuls of vials, put them into their smaller sacks, and run off.
Wait, hold on. So the sack that me and Bob had
is lighter.
Hell no! I'm not letting them take.
Too late. They were in and out.
All right.
And the shaman says,
we will meet the zombies as they meet the wall. Watch for us.
And then she disappears in a poof of smoke. She threw something on the ground, and there's a poof of smoke. And as it fades away, you see her running away. And she looks over. She sees you. You still see her. She throws another vial down. Poof of smoke.
I really want to use a word right now, but we're not supposed to curse. So, all right. What do you think, Bob?
Sack's easier to carry now. Listen, your friends don't double cross us.
They're gonna double cross us. I don't trust her. All right.
Look at me. You're the one who has friends.
Aww.
I'm not gonna. All right. Well, we're gonna take the sack back, and I'm gonna say to Bob, say anything about the goblins.
The who? What now?
Exactly. We just have this sack of stuff we gotta deliver.
Okay. Everyone, give me a perception check. But Vex, take yours at disadvantage.
Oh, that's okay.
And yeah, and Ari, at this point, you've used your six charges. You have one charge left that you chose not to use.
Yep.
Oh, even with disadvantage, still
20.
16. Rolled a 15 and a 12.
My perception is plus 3.
Okay. So...
19 Ferrari.
Okay. So you see a figure. I would say a hooded figure, but it's the middle of winter. Everyone's wearing a hood. Go up to the wall. Toss something into a quiver that an archer is currently using and run off. And as this person's running away, they get about 15 feet before the quiver explodes.
Son of a...
Suicide runner?
No, the runner was out of range when the quiver exploded. They got knocked down, but they're scrambling to their feet to continue running.
So wait, they threw something... They threw the quiver.
They threw something into the quiver.
I shoot one of the freezing arrows at the person.
Okay, it actually, because you've used a few of these already, I'm assuming, it actually produces like a web-like sticky substance that holds people in place. It doesn't freeze them.
Okay, I shoot one of the web arrows at them then.
Give me a roll.
Uh, 17.
That is a hit. The arrow, for want of a better word, explodes, but instead of a giant fireball, what you get is... basically, like if you sneeze into a tissue and then open it to look inside, it looks like that.
They also take 8 points of piercing damage.
Noted. Okay. They immediately pull out a green dagger and start trying to cut themselves free.
Can I shoot another? A normal arrow?
Go ahead. There's two other guards running towards this person.
I also throw Hunter's Mark on the person.
Giant red arrow appears above their head. The guards are like, thank you. We wanted to know which one was the traitor.
It's a 17 again. 13 points of piercing.
You shoot him in the back of the head and the arrow comes out of his eye.
Impressive.
Just as the other two guards that were trying to get to this person get to him, he falls dead. And they sort of look up at you and they're like, they're holding their hands out, palms up, like, how are we going to question him?
Vex doesn't care.
Now, Vex just smiles and then his teeth just glow.
There's a little ding as one of the teeth sparkles in the rising sun. Okay, at this point, let's go to initiative because the zombies are getting close enough for you to start worrying about that.